Birth prevention. Artificial or unnatural birth prevention, often wrongly called birth control, is wrong in itself. And it is not wrong just because the church forbids it. To employ a human faculty in an unnatural manner, perverting its natural object, is to disobey the natural law, which, after all, is but the law of God implanted by Him in His creation. Birth prevention is immoral because it consists in the gratifying of sexual pleasure while frustrating the object of the act, and the very reason for pleasure being attached to the act by Almighty God. It is simply mutual masturbation, which reduces the purpose of marriage to mere pleasure and nothing more. In the Old Testament, God struck Onan dead for practicing a primitive form of birth control. Cf. Genesis 38:1-10. It would be remiss not to mention at this juncture that modern low-dose birth control pills, by far the most commonly used, very often do not actually prevent a conception from occurring, but are really abortifacient. That is to say, they allow a conception to occur, but often prevent the embryo's implantation in the womb or uterus of the mother. In this case, the newly conceived child is denied by the chemistry of the birth control pill a healthy, normal home in the uterus of the mother, and subsequently it is expelled. The net effect of low-dose birth control pills is that they often abort the new baby by denying it the natural means of life. In effect, they kill it by causing an abortion. A word also needs to be mentioned about natural family planning and periodic continence. Each method of limiting the birth of children relies on the use of the reproductive faculty only during the woman's infertile periods, thus avoiding pregnancy. The use of the term natural family planning has come under sharp attack from traditional Catholic writers in recent years because it implies the right of the couple to plan their family. Whereas the Catholic norm is to let God plan one's family and to accept the children when and if God gives them, as a blessing from Him on the marital union and on society. Except for the use of NFP for fertility reasons, i.e. to aid in a legitimate way in conceiving a child, as opposed, e.g. to in vitro fertilization, the planning aspect of NFP would appear to reflect acceptance of the neo-pagan practice of family planning, albeit using natural as opposed to artificial means. Proponents of NFP, it would seem, are confusing a legitimate means during an emergency situation or for a serious reason with an illegitimate end in the case of no family emergency or no serious reason, and presume then to conclude that NFP is morally acceptable as a way of life. The end or purpose of NFP, that is, planning one's family, is not acceptable in principle, being against natural law and the teachings of the church. A couple does not have the right to plan their family, even though the means used are those of NFP and do not violate the church's prescriptions against artificial birth control. As Cardinal Ottaviani, former head of the Holy Office, Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, declared before the assembled bishops at Vatican Council II, quote, "I am not pleased with the statement in the draft text that married couples may determine the number of children they are to have. Never has this been heard of in the church." Footnote: The Rhine Flows into the Tiber, A History of Vatican II, Father Ralph M. Wilkin, SVD, Hawthorne Books, New York, 1967, reprint, Rockford, Illinois, TAN, 1985, page 269, emphasis added. This is the 2,000-year tradition of the Church, supported by Sacred Scripture, cf. Genesis 38:1-10, et al., and reiterated by the popes in the ordinary teaching magisterium of the Church, e.g., Casti Connubii, On Marriage, Pius XI, 1930, address to midwives, Pius XII, 1951. Humanae Vitae on Human Life, Paul VI, 1968, number 10. Also, it should be noted that the Catechism of the Catholic Church, second edition, 1997, does not use the term natural family planning. Rather, it uses the term periodic continence, CCC, number 2370. That is, the practice of continence, or abstinence from sexual union during a woman's fertile time each month. On the other hand, periodic continence, i.e., refraining from use of the marital act during the woman's fertile time each month, is a safety net for a serious reason. Cf. Humanae Vitae, number 10, is completely legitimate, but only under certain very specific conditions, and they are the following. 1. That there be a serious reason to practice periodic continence. 2. That it be with the mutual consent of the marriage partners. 3. That this continence not be the near occasion of mortal sin for either party. 4. That the periodic continence last only so long as the serious reason lasts. 5. It is recommended that the situation be reviewed by one's confessor to ensure that all the requisite conditions are present. Footnote, C.F. Moral Theology, Reverend Herbert Joan, O.F.M., Capuchin, J.C.D., Westminster, Newman Press, 1962. Reprint, Rockford, Illinois, TAN, 1993. Number 760, page 542.